This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here's WSMI's Tim Mize and David Jenkins. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, T-Tote. First full day of spring.
First full day. It arrived at 5:45 yesterday evening.
So was yesterday, like yesterday at noontime, was not really spring?
No, it was not spring.
See, it's always confusing. I've heard people say that it's the 20th and then also the 21st.
The equinox was at 5:45.
The equinox does not lie.
You can mess with what you want.
Unlike time, the equinox is not made up.
That's true. We measure time, so that what we measure, how we measure, is what we made up as humans. Yes.
Right. And it's come time for the basketball season.
Oh,
Get mad.
Mad is a good way to describe it.
Well, that Thursday of the NCAA tournament was about as good as it can get.
It was historic.
For the number of one-point games?
Yeah, I believe so.
And then there was a couple of games that went overtime, a few games that wound up like 2 or 3 points that were right down to the final seconds. And I think that maybe one of the most overused terms now has become bracket busted. Like, I heard people talking about after 4 games complete, the bracket's busted. How? Did all 4 of your Final Four teams miraculously lose in the first 4 games?
If you pick them, you know, if you pick teams to win the final and go to the Final Four and you've lost in the opening round, you're an idiot.
Right. It's like my bracket right now for the Wisby Pool is in dead last place. Dead last place. But I still have all my Final Four teams and 7 of my Elite Eight teams. So it's not busted. It's bad.
Yeah.
But it's not busted.
But you're still in the running for the prestigious WSMI Cup.
Trying to defend my title.
Which is sitting right there in front of Dave Jenkins.
There it is. And stare at it. And hope to.
Are you trying to intimidate him?
Absolutely.
Is that what you're doing?
Absolutely.
Like sunglasses in here, the glare off of it.
Oh, I polish it every day.
No, it's mine's not busted either. I'm missing a Final Four team because Iowa State lost. But, I mean, I've still got 3 Final Four teams and my national championship game prediction.
Yeah, it's just still upsets on the first day do not brass the, you know,
I think maybe what they're saying when they say bust a bracket is busting the perfect bracket. Because everybody's so, you know, wanting to get that perfect bracket.
But it's 1 in 9 quintillion of doing it.
It is.
You stand a better chance of getting hit by a meteor.
Twice, probably.
Yeah. Come on.
If you survive the first one. Yeah.
To me, bracket busters don't take place until the second weekend.
That's right.
You shouldn't even be allowed to use the term.
A few years ago, the term bracket busters, it was used as a game that was scheduled in the regular season for certain teams, like certain smaller teams that ESPN would showcase for one game in the season and face each other. Yeah, yeah. Because it would be like, you know, Illinois State would play North Dakota State in a bracket buster game because it's a potential, the winner of this game is going to get into the tournament based on resume. So.
You keep using that term, NCAA, and the basketball gods will do something nasty to you. I'm just telling you right now, you're misusing the term.
There's one surefire way for a bracket to get busted today, if Kentucky lost.
Yeah.
That will bust the bracket today if Kentucky were to lose.
That's what some of the analysts were saying this morning was upsets could happen this weekend, but nothing. There's going to be really no stunners unless Kentucky loses. That's the only stunner that could happen. I mean, yeah, if Wisconsin loses to Oregon, yeah, that'd be an upset, and there'd be some surprise. But, I mean, it could still happen because Oregon's pretty good. San Diego State could play. I mean, they looked good last night if they upset Duke. I mean, it wouldn't be a stunner because San Diego State looked good yesterday. Same thing with NC State against Villanova. So, but if Kentucky lost, it would be a stunner.
That'd be an earth mover.
Yeah.
And that, believe me, the NCAA tournament, they do, or the committee, whatever, they don't want them losing now.
No.
Yeah. You know? No. They want them in the Final Four undefeated, then whatever happens, happens. You know, you get a Kentucky-Wisconsin, Kentucky-Arizona national semifinal. And
the earliest they could lose with it looking great would be if they lose in the Elite Eight to Wichita State, because it would be so poetic.
That would be poetic, would it not? Of course, Kentucky ended Wichita State's undefeated season last year in the tournament and ran all the way to the title game. That would be interesting.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
Well, I just don't see that happening.
Probably not. It's
the madness,
if it comes
though,
together.
It's probably
madness.
Not.
Yeah.
But see, that's it. It's hard to imagine.
But, Tim, there's madness and then there's lunacy.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point. But
that
you almost have to get to the lunacy part to even fathom a team of any kind beating Kentucky, because they're just that good. They've been so dominant that if they're going to lose, it's going to be a moment where it's like, well, they're not better than Kentucky. Mm-hmm. They just beat them that night, which is how the tournament goes, and which is why it's so great.
The single elimination tournament.
Yeah.
Beautiful one of the thing. Greatest, the bracketed single elimination tournament, one of the greatest inventions in sports.
That's well, right. Yeah, I mean, if the college it really the is. College playoff was like the NBA and they just took the top 16 teams and had a playoff series, it would be terrible.
Oh, it would be horrible.
No one would watch.
Yeah, yeah.
Be unwatchable.
It would be. It'd be. Well, people would lose interest after, you know, 3 nights of it.
And it, I mean, in that scenario, Kentucky would run away with it. I mean, there'd be no doubt. Here, you know they're the best team. But how often in the history of the NCAA does the best team actually win?
That's a good point. Can you survive in advance?
Can you survive in advance? And North Carolina survived in advance. Ooh, that was one of my favorite first-round games just because of the paradoxes.
Well,
you've
they
got
were up
Harvard,
by,
enough
they?
Said. Yeah. Then you've got Carolina, who, of course, for the last decade and a half, has been embroiled in this academic scandal where none of their athletes are taking real classes at all. So it's just humorous to me that in that scenario, I hope Harvard was like just trash talking them with like really big words. I don't understand.
How do you spell that?
What? And then Harvard almost beats them.
Yeah, well, North Carolina up by like 15 at one
Something
point.
Something like that, yes.
Harvard cut it to 2. Of course, Harvard is coached by a Duke boy, Tommy Amaker.
He is.
Yeah.
Harvard, of course, won a couple of games last year. I think this was the fourth or fifth straight year they've been in the tournament. So, I mean, they're used to being in that setting, used to playing those types of schools on that stage, and they had their chance.
Tell you what, the winner of the Ivy League has been dangerous when it comes to the NCAA. Between Harvard and Cornell 4 or 5 years ago.
Princeton a number of years ago beating UCLA.
Yeah, yeah. That's probably the stunner of all.
That's
think about that
list.
in the history of the tournament. That's one of them.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, if you're on that list, you know it's a great finish because just Thursday alone, there's a number of finishes that you would think, boy, that's an all-time finish. Then you start thinking about it. It's like, well,
no, it's
it
not.
Was really good, but all-time, I don't know.
I'm just wondering if the Harvard team brought up the premise of pie like we did the week before. Like
yeah, boy, that game could have been played last week.
That's right.
Yeah,
can you explain this to me? What's pie?
The trash talking involved. How many digits of pie can you name?
Right. Yeah, that's exactly. I can go all the way. Of course, perhaps the most crazy finish of all was UCLA SMU. I've never seen the game end on a goaltend.
Yeah. It was interesting. By the letter of the law, it was the right call because the ball was heading down.
Well, that's exactly right. I've heard a lot of people say that it was the bad call, that it shouldn't have been goaltending.
Well,
but when I watched it, to me,
it was headed because it wasn't going in. It was heading to the side. Yeah.
Probably.
It was going to hit the front of the rim and bounce off to the side. There was no way it was going in, but I mean.
But the rule doesn't make any exceptions.
Exactly.
As long as the ball is on its downward trajectory, and once it's the progress is impeded, it becomes a goaltending.
I wonder why, I think there was only just a few seconds left, why he even went up
for it.
It
was a stupid play.
Yeah. And he apologized later for letting everyone down, but I wonder why he went up, because, I mean.
Well, that's what you do.
You got
in
caught
a game.
Up in the moment.
That's what you do in a game.
You know, I've heard coaches yell at kids for doing that in practice. You know, don't do that because it's a bad habit to develop. Because you never know. You may think that you're in the clear, but you probably are not. And in that situation, just box your man out, and then if the ball falls in your hands. It falls in your hands. But that was a crazy one.
It was
a team that many people said didn't even deserve to be in the field. Winds up winning on a goaltending call.
That's happened like the last 4 or 5 years. Teams have gotten it. The committee's let teams in, and everybody's made a big stink about it, and they end up going to the Sweet 16.
It happens.
Yeah.
Well, every year there's been that the play-in game. A team has won a game coming out, and Dayton did it again last night in the Sweet 16 last year.
Mm-hmm.
Now knocking off Providence last night in a win away from back-to-back Sweet 16 berths.
Well, and I find it very interesting that teams complain about other teams getting in, and you're being left out. Win another game or two.
Yeah.
You know.
Win your conference tournament.
Basically, it's in your hands. If you can't win enough to get yourself into the tournament, don't be blaming the committee. They're just doing their job. They have a way that they rate teams. They have a system. Make sure you know how the system works and get yourself in there.
If you're wondering how close Dayton was to missing the tournament, if UConn beats SMU in the American Conference Championship game, Dayton wouldn't have made it.
They were the first team out.
Really?
Yep. Because UConn would have stolen a tournament berth.
Taking a berth.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah.
You just never know. It's a beautiful thing.
It is.
That's why they take basically a solid week of just pouring over statistics and numbers. And it's not a perfect system, but it's a pretty good system.
Since they've gone to 68 teams, I don't feel like you get the same controversies with the teams left out. Like I remember they put like the snubs up after the selection show this year. I looked at myself, Well, that's nothing. They don't deserve to be in the tournament.
I agree.
You can make a case for every one of those teams that were the first four out that they shouldn't, like, why they shouldn't have been.
Yeah, they really have no legitimate case to complain too loudly. Because, like you said, T.
Win two more games, and you're in. Two more games, and you're in. Yeah.
Or win your tournament.
Yeah.
What I've never understood about the selection process is, like, Northern Iowa and Wichita State, they were basically top 10 teams all year in the national poll. It gets into the tournament, and they're 5 seeds and 7 seeds. That doesn't compute to me how you can go from a top 10 team nationally and then in a field where you're seeding 1 through 68, where you wind up with those types of seeds. And a team like Murray State, top 25 team most of the year, they lose their conference tournament on a late three at the buzzer, and they get left out of the field. How can you be a top 25 team all year and then not make the field of 68?
I think they were ranked 25 until their loss in the tournament.
So how does that happen?
Because the media people do the tournament or do the polls.
Yeah,
but still, though, you know.
I know.
It doesn't fit
the criteria of the committee.
Because Murray State's been good for a couple of years.
Murray State's been good for several years.
They've kind of got that lower mid-major profile right now, like kind of where Gonzaga and those types of schools were, you know, number of years
ago. Butler a few years ago.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Murray State would have been the one team that got left out that I would have said, yeah, they've got a legitimate beef because, I mean, they had a fluke loss in their conference tournament and they got left out for that. I mean, they won their regular season title and they're a tournament staple.
I have an idea. Now, it's a crazy idea, but here's an idea. You take the NIT and you invite 8 teams to the NIT that miss the tournament, and the winner of the NIT gets a play-in game. So there you basically have expanded the field 8 more teams, and you know you get to play one of the play-in games. Whoever wins the NIT, you can run that tournament in 3 days.
Yeah. Do like the high school play 2 games in 1 day?
Yeah. Well, you could do it.
Well, I guess they don't do that anymore.
No, but you could do it.
Yeah, well, anything.
Or you do it 3 nights. I mean, you could do that in 3 nights.
Just got to get the money.
Sure. You don't think that they'd sell that thing on for TV coverage?
Oh, it'd be sold. Absolutely.
Oh, it'd be sold out.
Absolutely.
I'd watch it.
There was doubt about. There were people saying that the new college football playoff that you know nobody's going to buy that. It's taken away from the bowl games. Nobody's going to buy that.
Well, I never understood that.
Excuse me?
No. It's like, you know, sometimes like people get too caught up in their own like little world, like the college football world. I could care less about the 65 bowl games that are going on. But a national college playoff, that has my interest. Yes. I'm paying attention to that. The Alamo Bowl, I don't care about.
No. Exactly.
No.
I got other things to do on Christmas Day than watch a college football game. I'm sorry.
You do? Really, Tim?
A few things, you know. Okay. There's chores to do, T.
One more point with Wichita State and Northern Iowa. I don't think the committee likes the – well, maybe not likes, but respects the Missouri Valley as much.
Well, I mean, it's easy to make that case because, to me, Wichita State and Northern Iowa could both legitimately be in the Final Four, and it wouldn't be a surprise to me. They're top 10 teams in the country.
Northern Iowa looks like the team to beat in their region. I mean, they look good.
Well, it's a mid-conference, you know, mid-major. And it's in the Midwest.
Yeah, that's right.
But, you know, the Valley, they get pub. They always talk the Valley up. They like the Valley. Like, the people in the media seem to like the Valley. But, boy, when the seeds come out, the Valley seems to just get. Like last year, Wichita State undefeated. And you put a Kentucky team that was preseason number one in their region for the second game of the year, for the second game of the tournament. That's messed
up. And Wichita State took them to the end of the game. I mean, it was a late shot by either Aaron or Andrew Harrison.
Yeah, I'm pulling for Wichita State.
But if you're going to be the best, you got to beat the best.
Well, that's exactly right.
When the time comes, you know, and that's the great thing about the bracketed tournament. You know your path. You know who you're going to have to beat. The basketball gods have spoken. If you want to get to the Final Four, here's your path.
Yeah,
you know,
that's exactly right.
And when Wichita State lost that game to Kentucky last year, I don't think there was anybody who said Wichita State didn't deserve that number one seed just because how well a game they played against Kentucky. Everybody was like, oh, I mean, they showed they deserved to be a number one seed in the tournament.
I think it's the greatest 3 weeks of sports broadcasting.
Yeah. Oh, I agree.
In tournament, you know, for the NCAA.
And that Thursday and Friday, to me, are the two best sporting days of the year by far. Yeah. Just good stuff.
Games out the wazoo.
There's a reason that men schedule their vasectomies so they're on the couch for Thursday. That's a fact. That's real. We need to get to a break here on SportsCenter. That's also real. We'll be back in a moment.
22 after 9 o'clock on this Saturday morning as Sports Saturday rolls on. Once again, Tim Mize and Dave Jenkins, gentlemen.
T-tote.
Thank you, sir.
Yes. Cardinal baseball today, 11:45 a.m. 15:40.
Wayno's pitching today for the first time.
Hey. That's good. Yeah. And I realized yesterday after we got off the air, we had the opponent wrong. They were playing the Twins last Saturday,
yeah,
not the Brewers.
Yeah, I saw that.
I think the Brewers are in Arizona.
I think the Brewers are in Arizona.
I went home last, and I'm going, Milwaukee plays in Arizona.
Right, like, that's a heck of a game.
Oh, yeah, I'm going Minnesota. I'm going, did I get the wrong month? I mean, I have no idea where Minnesota came from.
But, you know, thinking about that, though, I really think that that is an advantage for the Cardinals. They have no division opponents.
Pittsburgh is in the
Do they ever play them?
I don't know.
I don't think they ever play them.
Maybe twice.
Okay, yeah.
But, you know, you think of, like, the other day I was flipping through, and the Reds were playing the Cubs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then the Brewers are playing the Reds. They're playing the Cubs. So, you know, you're getting a look at all their prospects in spring training, whereas those teams out in Arizona, they're not getting, you know, they never got a look at all these young Cardinal players coming up in spring that have been performing for the last 3 or 4 years. So it's just an interesting dynamic that I never really thought about. But, boy, the ability to not have to play division opponents that you're going to play, what, 60-some-odd times during the year?
Well, what is it? Is it 19 games for each division opponent?
So it's more than that, then. It's more than 60
total.
Yeah,
18 or 19.
Yeah. 18 or 19, so.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of ball games. You add, you know,
that's
six more
games
to each in the spring.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't know that there are a lot of – it doesn't seem like there are a lot of National League teams in the Grapefruit League. I mean, anymore. They're all in – most of them are in Arizona now.
Yeah.
It's for whatever reason.
Hey, that's all right.
Yeah.
They can't all be down there.
That's
right. No, that's true. You know, being in Florida gives you an eastern time zone.
It does. Although it's getting rainy down there.
Yeah, well,
better weather out in Arizona, that's for sure.
Well, that's
in terms of, like, you know, for baseball, like with the wind and the rain and all that.
And you got Will Ferrell playing for you, or potential fab Will Ferrell playing for you.
I heard John Madden blasted him.
Did he?
Yeah.
So what's a Will Ferrell thing here?
He played, he went to 9 different spring training big league games and appeared.
It wasn't nine games. It wasn't 9 games. He played 10 positions for 10 teams,
and some of them he would play.
He would switch teams in the middle of a game.
But he played it. Yeah, played every position.
And it was for charity.
They actually let him play.
They let him play.
It's for charity.
For charity. But John Madden wasn't happy.
The Will Ferrell charity or what?
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah,
Ricky Bobby charity.
I think it was something for cancer. I don't know.
Okay, well that's
and it's spring training, so it's not like
nice that baseball did.
Yeah, exactly. It was a good thing, but boy, Madden didn't like it though. He was saying that it basically undermined the integrity of like the players and the games. Like,
right,
it's spring training.
Well, I don't think so. I think if anything, it showed how difficult it is to play baseball professionally.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but I'm sure he didn't look good.
Yeah.
No. he did pitch a third of an inning and got an out.
Did he really?
Yeah. Of course, the guy bunted right to him.
Okay.
But he managed to pick it up and throw it to first.
I tell you what, I give Will Ferrell props for standing on the mound and throwing a pitch to a big batter. I'm not doing that. No thanks.
Wow.
Like, thank you for bunting.
Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
He replaced Mike Trout in center field. They brought him in for Mike Trout.
No, that's funny.
No, Trout could be insulted. But you couldn't put me at first for a half an inning?
Well, there's probably some sort of trade-off. Mike Trout will be appearing in a Will Ferrell movie
that's
here
true.
Coming up.
That's true.
A cameo.
I think he did get 2 at-bats as well and struck out both times. No
surprise. I would think, if he put wood on ball, I would be surprised.
Hey, that's the great thing about baseball, though. You know, people can be involved with things like this, and it's okay.
The hardest thing to do in sports.
Yeah.
Hit a fastball.
It is.
The funniest part of the day probably was when he was coaching third for the Cubs, because he had big poster board out there with one of them said, remember these games don't count. And then the next one said, that was a lie. Play your hardest.
Spring training is, probably got a couple of weeks left now.
Yeah.
April 5th is opening day, of course, or opening night. Cubs cards. And hopefully, we said Wayno starting today.
Yeah.
And that's going to put him on pace for that opening night start.
We hope so.
Yeah. And
we
apparently, Michael Wacha looks good. No concerns there. Apparently, he's not on any type of
Jaime Garcia.
Jaime Garcia looks
pretty
good.
Pretty good outing. You know, that means he's got 4 starts left.
Exactly.
Four starts in the once the regular season starts.
If by some miracle he was actually able to be healthy,
I tell you
that's
what,
a huge asset.
Oh.
You talk about that left-hander in the rotation. Yeah. If he's healthy coming out, he will be the 5th starter. No matter what Carlos Martinez does. Yeah,
you know
Garcia
what?
Is healthy,
if
he will
if,
be the 5th starter.
If he's healthy the whole year, I think the Cardinals run away.
Very possibly.
With that pitching staff that they have, if they can stay healthy. Now, you know, injuries occur to every pitching staff, and there's going to be an injury somewhere along the line. But if the Cardinals' pitching staff can stay relatively healthy, and in particular Jaime Garcia, that's just such a different dimension.
Wainwright, Waka, Lackey, Lynn, Garcia. If you run those five guys out every fifth day,
wow,
yeah, it'll be a runaway.
If he is healthy through all of April, he'll be traded in May or June.
Well,
I mean, seriously, I mean,
he might be.
Yeah, because right now they're probably just looking to unload him.
You can't blame him for that. But right. Boy, when he's healthy, he is filthy.
And that adds to his value.
The thing though, if you're the Cardinals, be careful about trading him, because if you trade him, he might just wind up on the Cubs and he's a soft tossing lefty. And we know how that goes.
That's right.
We know how that works.
Well, Mozeliak is smart enough that if the Cubs come calling, the price for Garcia will be significantly higher than it would other teams.
I didn't say they would trade him to the Cubs.
I don't think they'd go anywhere in the division.
No, but trade him out of the division, and someone from the division might acquire
him. That's like when they traded Edmonds to the Padres, and he ended up on the Cubs the same season.
Exactly. Yeah. It happens.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
We didn't see this coming.
It's going to be an interesting year.
Mm. Yeah.
And I don't know what the effect the speed-up rules are going to actually have on the game. I mean, are they going to really start enforcing this like they say they are?
I don't know.
We'll see.
I guess the big thing will be the in-between innings. Because I guess they're going to have a clock. It's like 2 minutes and 45 seconds. And when the last out is made, it starts. And the pitcher is supposed to be on the mound ready to pitch when there's like 5 seconds left on the clock. And supposedly, when the TV comes back from break, the pitch is coming home.
Okay.
We'll see.
There will be a lot of controversy in April and complaining. And once they finally figure it out, maybe about midway through May, we'll be okay.
That's probably correct. I've been perplexed. All this is to speed up the game. And then at the same time, they announced that they're going to be shrinking the strike zone. They seem to run counterproductive to each other.
Well, they want to shrink the strike zone because pitching has gotten so good again.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And they're a bunch of darn fools if they do that. That's crazy.
It is crazy. And to me, you know, there's no doubt that pitching has taken over. But
everything is cyclical.
It all is, but yeah. I think a lot of it has to do with offensive approaches.
Sure.
I mean, you see guys just swinging from their heels all the time. Very rarely do you see a guy with two strikes choke up, just try to put the ball in play. And the Cardinals do a lot of this. They'll just stand there and they'll just take a third strike that's borderline. Yeah. What happened to trying to foul it off? You know, that's a good pitch. Fight it off. Live to see another pitch. Yeah. Wait for that mistake. But, boy, you'll see that all the time. It's not just the Cardinals. Batters will turn around and look at an umpire and say something when they strike out. If I'm the umpire, swing the bat.
Yeah.
It's become such a specialized game, though, like with specialty pitchers and defensive shifts and everything.
Dave, from the time you're a kid at 5 years of age, coaches say, if it's close, swing.
That's true. But to David's point, though, back in the 50s, the starting pitcher was pitching the whole game. Now in the sixth inning, you got a guy coming in throwing 90. In the seventh inning, you got a guy coming in throwing 90. Got a lefty up. Oh, here's a nasty lefty. So it definitely more specialized in that regard.
True.
To the defensive shifts, I was disturbed earlier watching a spring training game. Mike Matheny's encouraging Matt Adams to bunt more this year against the shift. Yeah. I don't like it. I'm not a big fan of it. Isn't that exactly what the other team wants? Don't they want the big power hitting left hander to drop down a bunt?
I guarantee
he clogs up the bases. What if he's on first?
I tell you what, if he bunts and gets on base about four times in the early part of the season, there won't be no more shifts.
Do you think? I wonder though.
We'll
because
see.
If I'm an opposing player, I'll let him drop bunts down four times in a game. I don't care.
And I'm not convinced he'll bunt the ball. I'm just convinced he'll take it the other way.
Yeah.
He's shown the ability to go the other
way. He did that earlier in the year last year. Serving it into left field.
It also depends on how well the hitter behind him is hitting.
That's true.
Yeah.
But I'm just not a big fan of having a big power hitter drop down bunts because the defense has shifted over. Do what you do. Mm-hmm. Don't let the defense dictate your philosophy.
If you've got a deep enough lineup, I'm okay with it. If you're the guy in the lineup, and then after you, it's nothing. Then you probably shouldn't be bunting.
All I know is in the World Series a couple of years ago, if the Cardinals got a shift on, I don't care what the situation is. If Big Poppy decides he wants to bunt, I'm standing up and applauding. Thank you for bunting. You're Matt Adams is in the big leagues for power.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Left-handed hitters have been pull hitters since the game was invented. Hit it harder. Rope that line drive, send the ball through the second baseman.
I believe the proper term is hit him where they ain't.
Hit him where they ain't. Right. But I'm just the bunt. I don't like the idea of the cleanup man bunting. Take it the other way. Okay, but bunt to me, I'm not a big fan of the bunt anyway. You only get 27 outs.
That's right.
Well,
I give them up, but.
Well, it's one. It's,
you know, if they overshift in a right-handed hitter, do you want Albert dropping down a bunt 6 years ago? Because, well, they got four guys on the left side of the infield.
They never really shifted for Albert until here a couple of years
but
ago.
But it's only a left-handed batter you hear this for. You never hear it about a right-handed batter. You don't see the exaggerated shifts, of course. You know, because lefties are more pull
hitters.
Once
in a while, they'll play a step, maybe the second baseman step up the middle. Yeah, but
they have shifted for Yachty a bit to the opposite side of the field because he is known as an opposite field hitter. Yeah. I mean, they have shifted more.
Which
guys.
Just goes
it's
to
not
show
as extreme, but
how
yeah.
difficult it is to play baseball.
Oh. That's right. Just when you think you got one thing figured out, it's like plugging holes in a ship.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, if it's such a long season, and you know, you could be hot for 6 weeks, and then just as completely opposite for 6 weeks.
It's what the old saying: if you go to a baseball game, you might see something you never saw before.
Yeah,
you never know.
You never know.
Game to game, inning to inning,
it can be just plumb goofy.
Yeah,
which is, I think, part of a big attraction to baseball.
Mm-hmm.
You just know that some team will be playing in October that no one is thinking
right
now.
Yeah, yep. They're going, how did these guys make it? Well, they kind of got hot and they stayed healthy. You know, staying healthy is a big, big part of it. So
health and luck.
Yeah.
You know, no matter the sport, health and luck. Mm-hmm. Think about the teams that advanced in the tournament the last couple of days. You don't think they had some luck on their side?
Yeah.
Who would your pick be? Let's not count the Cubs because Cubs are getting a lot of hype.
The Cubs in the World Series.
A team that nobody's talking about that has a chance at getting to the playoffs.
Either league?
Yeah, either one. Just one team from either league.
Hmm. You know, I could see if everything is equal and everyone stays healthy, I could see the San Diego Padres maybe making some noise. Because you know the Giants won't do anything. They'll win the World Series next year.
Yeah.
They'll miss the playoffs this year.
Well, it's an even numbered year.
The Dodgers are the Dodgers.
They're an odd numbered year, I should say.
The Padres, I like what they've done. They've made some moves.
I don't know. I think that the whole preseason is so murky right now.
My pick would be the Miami Marlins.
I was going to say Miami might be at a team that, because they've got pitching.
Great
they made some
young
moves.
Players.
Yeah,
they got D. Gordon leading off. Got Ichiro.
So.
And they've got they've got
guys that can get the ball in the outfield.
Yeah,
they've got good pitching staff. Best hitter, one of the best hitters in baseball.
One of the most underrated closers in baseball, Steve Cishek.
And outside of Washington, the East isn't strong.
Yeah,
so
it's a good, incredibly
could be a year
weak
for
division.
Miami.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That'd be fun to see.
Yeah.
The fish.
And you know, if you're Giancarlo Stanton, boy, that's you always hear about the pressure of the 300. You know, the big contract that he's got now, but. To come off of that after getting hit in the face like that, I mean, that's got to be unbelievably tough. Like, watching him play a couple times against the Cardinals, he doesn't really look tentative necessarily, but he doesn't look like he's standing in as strong as he used to.
Not dug in.
Yeah, and I don't blame him.
Well, I won't either.
But, yeah, you're right, he's not dug in.
Get some protection there.
What's odd to me is the Cardinals I know it's just spring training, but the Cardinals have played the Marlins really well in spring training this year. And they never play the Marlins well in spring training.
And they never seem to play them well in the regular season.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if that has something to do with it. The fact that they share a facility in spring is.
They probably.
Unlike the division opponents, the Marlins see all the young Cardinals players all the time.
Yeah.
They've seen those pitchers. Could be a factor. We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more in a moment.
Just a quick note that the Carlinville versus Auburn baseball game for Monday has been moved to Lincolnland Community College, and I believe today's Hillsboro-Auburn baseball game has been moved to Lincolnland at noon. So.
Okay, and I believe the Carlinville-Auburn game is 4:45 pitch on Monday.
4:45.
Beautiful facility to watch
a
baseball game.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of nice facilities around anymore. So, tis the season.
Absolutely. Of course, today high school basketball officially wraps up in Illinois with the 3A and 4A state tournaments, and the championship games are set. It'll be Altoff Catholic out of Belleville taking on St. Joseph out of Westchester for the 3A state crown as Altoff got past Morgan Park out of the Chicago Public League 82-74 yesterday, and St. Joe's took care of Rockford Lutheran 55-38. So the Public League will not take home 2-3 and 4A state titles as Belleville made sure of that.
How about that? the Chicago Public League.
And I believe I had read earlier that if Altoff Catholic had not won a regional this year, they would have been down a class next year. Their multiplier would have been gone.
Oh, really?
I believe that's okay. Correct. So
that keeps them bumped up then.
Yeah, I would think if you win the state title, that would stay in effect.
Well, playing in the state title, I think, even keeps you bumped up. So
it certainly should.
Yeah,
it certainly should. So that'll be an interesting ball game this afternoon for the 3A title. The 4A championship game tonight, it will have the Lincolnshire Stevenson squad taking on Normal Community. Of course, Stevenson has been there three straight years now, lost to Simeon and Jabari Parker 2 years ago, lost, I believe, to Whitney Young and Jaleel Okafor last year, and now this year they get Normal Community, who has only one loss on the year, and upset Simeon, if you can call it an upset if you're 33-1 in the Super. But they are not Chicago Simeon. They beat them, though.
I think most people would have called it an upset. I did.
I would.
I did.
I would, personally.
I called it an upset.
I guarantee everyone in Chicago would.
Yeah.
So. People in Normal, not so much.
Yeah.
But either way, Stevenson and Normal Community for the 4A title.
Should be a heck of a ball game.
Oh, boy. Goodness.
I like the pace that game will have.
And if you haven't had the privilege to watch Jalen Brunson play, take one final opportunity and watch this young man tonight. He'll be at Villanova next year.
Yeah. He had an awful game yesterday.
I saw his stats. Not impressive.
Yeah, not impressive at all. But what he did without the basketball was just tremendous.
And I think his stats, 4 of 18 from the field, but 13 of 14 from the foul line. That's what you always see the great players do. If the shot's not falling, get to the free throw line. But getting teammates involved, defensive end, so many more ways
Quick.
To put your fingerprints in the game.
And a left-hander.
And a lefty.
Exactly tough right. to defend. Very tough to defend.
One of the great things about the IHSA State 4A title game, you go every year and see the next year's college star or
no, that's
NBA
exactly
star
right.
Yeah.
That's not
and
a
you
new
know,
phenomenon.
Watching the tournament, the NCAA, how many kids did how many times was Chicago Simeon mentioned?
Yeah, or just,
well, just
Illinois,
the state of
Illinois in general. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, publicly.
Every
yeah.
team,
ton of basketball
like,
talent.
Yeah. It was like every team had someone from Illinois.
Be at Illinois can't make the tournament. You know, we were talking about this off the air. An interesting note, I thought. Of course, Kendall Pollard out of Chicago Simeon plays for Dayton. He was on the team with Jabari Parker, Kendrick Nunn, and Jalen Tate. Of course, Nunn and Tate at Illinois. Parker was at Duke, now in the NBA. Pollard won a couple tournament games last year, won a game again last night, so playing again tomorrow. I believe he's won three or four. Maybe they might have been in the Elite Eight
last
year.
They were in the Elite
year.
Eight last
so
year.
He's won four tournament games or five tournament games in his 2 years. His teammates have won zero because Illinois hasn't been in it, and Duke choked like dogs last year in the first round. So for all the hype of that great Simeon team, and they were great, the three best players won no tournament games, and Kendall Pollard with Dayton has won five.
But, you know, if you play on Chicago Simeon and you weren't the number one star,
you were still
pretty doggone good.
Well, I think all five starters went
D1. Yeah.
And Dayton's a fun team to watch, goodness gracious.
Yeah.
They're a small team.
They are. And we were
like a team full of guards.
Well, and that's what makes them fun. I mean, and in the NCAA, you've got to have post people. I mean, to win the tournament, you've got to have a post guy. But with guards, you can be so successful without big people if you have great guards.
Dayton's a perfect example, I think, of a team that's kind of built for the tournament. Like, their roster, the way it's constituted, they can obviously beat any team from any league on any given night. But if you put them in a big league, the Big Ten, the ACC, they're going to get just beat up physically. You know, if they have to play three or four of those teams in a 10 or 12-day period, their lack of size, it's not going to work out for them. You know, they probably wind up missing the tournament. But the way that it works out, when they get into the big dance, playing a game, day off, game, week off, it doesn't matter. You know, the style they play is disruptive, and it's hard to prepare for.
Such a low-scoring game that played yesterday, too. It was like 12-5 with 3 minutes left in the first half.
Virginia was playing?
Yeah, it was bad.
We see a lot of that in the high school
games
around here. You know, you take that, you know, make that a pressure situation and take them out of their games.
Every possession is valued. And, you know, I've noticed something as I've been kind of watching these old-time games like that I just
on the archives
on YouTube. Yeah, awesome. You know, going back to watching some of these great classic championship games, it's easy to forget how many great players there's been over the years. Forget about, you know, the last 10 years, you know, or the 90s, through the 80s and the 70s. Just
go all the way back to when the Assembly Hall was first opened up and start watching some of those games. It's jaw-dropping.
Yeah, just elite talent across the board. But one thing I noticed that is definitely different from today, back then, they played to the final buzzer no matter what the score was. Like now you'll see if it's, you know, it's a 10-point game, certainly. No one's trying to score, kind of holding the ball, just kind of, no matter high school, college, pro, that's just how it is. I was watching the, I think it was the 88 title game, or I think that's the one it was. Lincoln had won easily. LaFonso Ellis pulls up from like 40 feet and drains a three at the buzzer, and they win by like, you know, 12 or 13, whatever it was. But that's just how it was. If someone did that now, they would get blasted. Yeah. You know, they would get called out for having no sportsmanship or running up the score.
You didn't have Facebook back then. Yeah.
That's right. But, you know, back then it wasn't called running up the score. Sure. You were just playing the game. They give us 32 minutes to play, so we're going to play the full 32 minutes. I just found that to be an interesting, drastic change to where you see coaches now, and it's the extreme, getting suspended for beating teams 106-2, which is unacceptable, but still, that's a drastic shift.
And you also see, I think, more and more where a coach realizes that with, you know, a minute to go, game's out of hand, we're going to let everybody else play.
So. Right. But you didn't used to see that.
No.
But, yeah, it's like I just couldn't picture, like, a team now, like, up by 12 in the state title game and their best player pulling up from 40 feet.
You know, and
made it.
That's one of the great things that I think that the videos will help out, because everybody wants to know what was the greatest team ever in Illinois history. You know, and I have my opinion.
Well,
remember Uncle Ralph had, you know, Taylorville.
We talked about this a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
If you could come up with an all-time Final Four state tournament for Illinois. I think we were pretty close to consensus on this team. If we weren't, just jump in. Dalton Thornridge,
yes.
Those Lincoln squads
from
the mid-80s.
Mm-hmm.
The Manuel teams from the 90s.
Right.
And then that Simeon team from a few years ago.
Yeah.
You take those four teams.
Put them in a tournament.
How does it get better than that? And, you know, you say maybe you could take the Simeon team out and put that Taylorville squad in.
You could.
But you start ranking those four teams trying to figure out who's better. You can make a case for all of them. But after watching East St. Louis Lincoln with LaFonso Ellis and Konzo Martin.
Those guys were just.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. You forget how good they really were.
They
were dominating.
Dominating.
Just absolutely dominating. So, I could watch it.
Absolutely.
You know, maybe that's what we need to do here is, you know, maybe for next week, shoot us an email on your, you know, a Final Four of all time.
And classes don't matter.
Classes don't matter. Just shoot us a, you know, send us an email, WSMI Radio, WSMI Radio.com. Shoot us an email if you have four teams or four programs. Like kind of an era, you could use that, like the Manuel teams or the Simeon team. You know, give us four teams that you'd see in the Final Four.
Tweet it all the time.
What's the tweet thing there, Dave? I don't.
At WSMI Sports.
I usually call it Twit and it's Tweet. So
Either way. Everyone knows what you mean.
That's right.
They all know what you mean. But I always like going to the March Madness experience. They always had the big cut out of that Dalton Thornridge team. It was 70? Was it 72 or 72?
Two. Yes.
Undefeated and just dominating. Quinn Buckner.
And by the way, we may see the 3 and 4A state tournament go north, but I don't think Peoria is ever going to lose it as long as they have the March Madness experience. In spite of the fact the State Farm Center is being renovated and will have all sorts of amenities, they still won't have an adjacent facility to run a March Madness experience.
Oh, they won't.
No.
I thought that was one of the main things they were doing.
I don't think they do. I don't think their current plans include that.
Interesting.
So, and that's up for renewal this year.
I mean,
they'll be voting on that very soon, I think.
If you're Peoria, you couldn't have done any more in the time you've had it. You know, if it ever leaves Peoria, it's not because Peoria did anything wrong. It's been sensational.
It would be good to see some upgrades in Carver Arena. You know, spruced up a little bit, but still, it's a good venue. People are close to the floor.
That arena probably hasn't been updated since the state tournament's been there.
Oh, no. It's 20 years now. It's been there.
Boy, that makes me feel old. Goodness gracious. 20 years.
20 years, Timbo. How about that, man?
It just leaves me shaking my head.
Yeah. You
know. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more in a moment.
Cardinals baseball today against the Braves, tomorrow against the Orioles, 11:45 on WSMI AM 1540, where the Cardinals fly by day.
So the Braves get Adam Wainwright, former farmhand.
Yep.
Jason Hayward, former face of the franchise.
Yes.
Oh, he's going to play this time?
I guess
because he didn't play in their other meeting with each other.
Oh yeah, I don't know if he's actually. I don't know if he's playing. I haven't seen the lineup.
I'm assuming he's going.
So the question is, when will the Braves be ready to just give Craig Kimbrel to the Cardinals?
Ooh.
Anytime you're ready, fellas, just go ahead.
He's one of the guys they're going to lock up. He and Freddie Freeman. Those are the guys that.
Well, you
lock
choose.
Up.
I don't know. To me, you choose Freddie Freeman over Jason Hayward if you're the Braves. That's questionable. That's questionable. Well, Freddie Freeman to me is overrated.
He's been the better contact hitter, though. He's been the better consistent hitter.
Yeah, but it sounds a lot like you hear Jason Hayward talk. He did not want to be a leadoff hitter, but he did it for the good of the team. You know, the Cardinals are going to turn him loose. I read a quote from Mike Matheny yesterday, said that he told Jason Hayward, you're basically going to hit in the two hole all year long, like Carlos Beltran did a few years ago. Remember, La Russa always left power in the two spot. But he told him, there probably won't be a time all year where I ask you to give yourself up. So when you talk about giving the guy free will mentally to just let it eat, I think he's going to have a monster year.
Well, it's contract season.
Contract season. And the Cardinals will probably have him locked him up before the end of the year.
Well, sure.
Let's hope so. They'll try to.
Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked that by Memorial Day he's locked up. Wouldn't shock me the least little bit.
Yeah. Just got to prove that he's healthy.
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
And, you know, spring training is always hard to gauge. But the offense doesn't appear to be a whole lot better. At least, you know, through spring games. They're not exactly setting the world on fire when they've got their main lineup in.
Nobody's going to set the world on fire. Let's put it in proper perspective. Every team has pitchers, plural, that can throw 95 to 100 miles an hour.
And pitching's always ahead of hitting this time of year.
Always.
That's the thing. Nobody in spring training is lighting it up offensively right now. Cardinals aren't the only ones who are struggling. Nobody is doing anything.
Right. But just after the year they had offensively last year, it would have been nice that early in spring if maybe there were a few different results, but a lot of ground balls still.
I just don't think you're going to see a whole lot of offense. That's why they want to shrink the strike zone, forcing pitchers to throw to a specific spot where hitters can look for the ball.
I say we just get a pitching machine. You can just set it to throw straight down the middle. Be like old school Nintendo when you're playing RBI baseball, or we're playing just straight down the middle today, boys. Straight down the middle. No?
Well, you know, in the old game, baseball, where it was two words, you could call for where you wanted the pitch.
Well, that would be nice. So. I might have been able to hit a curveball then if I knew where I was going.
No, you wouldn't. Just don't throw me a curveball, you know?
Even better.
Yeah.
Even better. Hey, while we still have time here, congratulations to the Southwestern Scholastic Bowl team.
Yes.
They are bringing home State Hardware. Took home fourth place in the Scholastic Bowl tournament, which took place this past, yesterday.
Yesterday at Carver Arena. While they were doing basketball on one side, they were finishing up Scholastic Bowl on the other.
There you go. It's like the Harvard-UNC thing all over again.
How about that? Yeah. So, that's tough.
It would be interesting
if
they would do like the final, like the championship Scholastic Bowl match at the March Madness experience. There's going to be a crowd there.
Of course, Scholastic Bowls are in a quiet situation.
Well, I understand that, but hey. Sometimes it gets.
I don't know. Bringing Will Ferrell and do Celebrity Jeopardy type stuff. You know,
exactly. Get a little pub for your sport.
There you go.
It'd be like it'd be like Happy Gilmore when he shows up. You know, you got beach balls out on the golf course. People going crazy. But congratulations to Southwestern for their Scholastic Bowl finish. Very impressive.
It was not. It was a great thing to have happen. That's good. That's great. So
Southwestern deserves something good to happen in a state series.
Yeah.
They've had a run of bad luck lately in the postseason. Goodness gracious. Has any team really had it worse than Southwestern come playoff time in girls and boys basketball the last 2 years? You think about it. The boys lost this year on a mid-court shot at the buzzer. We know what happened to the Southwestern girls 2 years ago.
Yep.
Kelsey Rhodes gets hurt this year. Just that is a bad run right there.
Been some tough mojo, that's for sure.
We talk health and luck.
Yeah.
Health and
luck. I mean, you know, health, luck, and with the luck you have the draw of the bracket. So whatever draw you have. So
it's all about the draw. And you know, you start looking at the draws for the NCAA tournament, Duke's got a real good draw. I mean, they really don't have to beat any big time program to get to the Final Four as a one seed, which, you know, that's why I always want to be a one over a two. It just seems easier. Like when you're looking at a bracket, the path always looks easier for the one, which it's supposed to be.
It's supposed to be.
Sure.
But that's how difficult it is to put together these brackets. Oh. I mean, when you start, you have certain criteria and you start adding up points and this, that, the other for the various criteria, you're talking about, you know, maybe a tenth of a point can separate maybe three or four teams from a one to a three. So it's not an easy job. So
one other thing is all the fours and the fives in the tournament won.
No 12-5 upsets.
No 12-5 upsets. No 13-4 upsets.
3-14, not so much.
3-14, yeah, there was a couple. Almost three.
Almost three.
Almost four, actually, because Oklahoma wasn't really doing that well against Albany yesterday.
And it probably shouldn't have been a surprise how the first 2 days turned out, because that Notre Dame-Northeastern game was the first game of the day. And Northeastern had the ball down two in the final seconds with the chance to tie or win it, and now they turned it over. Yeah. They didn't even get a shot off. Oops.
How often does that happen, though? You see, you know, you call a timeout with 8 seconds to go in a game, can't even get the ball in.
Yeah.
Happens a lot.
It happens a lot. And, Terry, you've talked about it all the time. You don't care about free throw percentages. Yeah. What are you shooting in the last few seconds of a close ball game? And we saw it a couple of times on display in the first two rounds, or the first 2 days of the tournament, where Baylor lost because they missed the front end of a 1-1 up two. Georgia State came down, hit a three. They win. I think it was Purdue missed six free throws in a row in the final minute.
Purdue doesn't know how to throw the ball in. Yeah. Remember that game against the Illini where they almost blew that lead? Sure. They did the same thing against Cincinnati. Yeah.
And I had a chance to speak to a class yesterday at Lakeland. They were celebrating the 40th anniversary of the College Station that kind of got us going here. And it was a sports question about, you know, statistics and such, and I don't use many statistics because I made the comment that if a person makes free throws in the last minute of a ball game and they have a great season and nobody was any closer than 20-25 points to them and they play deep into the tournament, you can't compare regular season and the tournament. It's what have you done for me tonight.
Pressure is the great
pressure is the great, you know, it's changes everything. So It's all about what have you done for me tonight.
But get the ball in bounds. I mean, come on.
Well, you know, you're at a disadvantage, though, because you're 4-on-5.
Yeah.
You got 5 defenders out there.
But at the end of the day, get the ball in bounds.
Get the ball in bounds.
But did you see UC Irvine? They didn't get a shot off at the end of their game against Louisville, had a chance to win. They got a 7-6 kid.
I didn't see that,
It's like a tree.
That was the second coming of Manute Bol.
Yeah, that guy could have ate Manute Bol 4 times and not been full. It reminded me of that movie, The Air Up There, with Kevin Bacon. You remember that, where he went over to Africa and like recruited like
a guy who was
in the tribe, but he had to become like a member of like the tribe to like gain the trust. Like, how do you find that guy?
New Mexico State had a kid last year, Seem Bolar, I think.
He was
like
400 pounds,
seven six.
Yeah, but it's like he
couldn't run up and down the court.
That kid was standing next to 2 7-footers, and they looked like midgets. Yeah. Like, that's a big man. It's a big man. We're out of time here on Sports Saturday.
Bring me 16 pounds of bacon and about 3 pounds of eggs. Okay,
light breakfast. Yeah. Light breakfast. Cardinal baseball 11:45 this morning on AM 1540. Sports Saturday is done. For Tito, David Jenkins, I'm Tim Mize here on your 50,000-watt sports voice of Mid-Illinois. This is WSMI-FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carbonville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.